what happened this week and where we think we're going from here. I know it's a question on everybody's mind. Dr. J, I take a look at your newest moves in the market, and it suggests that you think we're going lower by virtue of the fact that you own puts now in the Russell. Talk to me.
Well, and that was part of it, Scott. The other part was the volumes were just so light on that rally. You and I talked about it just 2 days ago that the Tuesday rally was significantly lower volume. I think about 35 million option contracts. It was lower on the stock side as well. And then you look at the sell-off, the last couple days of sell-off, and that's been on huge volume. Not blowout volume, I'm not saying that, but right back up there to 42, 43,000 option contracts, stronger volumes in the stocks too, Scott. So that tells me that there are people that just want to sell the rips, and they're not as aggressive about buying that dip. Obviously, they did buy it on Tuesday, whoever the they are that did that. It had that bounce, and then both volume and volatility, those are two of the main things that we follow. Velocity is the third. Very fast turnaround from a volatility last week in the 16 range to 23 on the sell-off, and then back down to 17, and now you know, we're seeing a little bit of a rise today, but not back towards that 23 level at all yet, Scott.
You own the Russell the March 213 puts. That's right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. There were big buyers of those. I think like 25,000 of those were purchased just the other day, Scott.
Okay. As I said, Mr. Wonderful, it's great to have you back. It's been a while. I'd like to get your take on sort of where you see things after this tumultuous week that we've endured. More volatility, as John was just saying. He put a trade on to try and take advantage of where some big bets are being placed. What are you doing?
So 2021, the hallmark of that year was no volatility, even though it was horrific in terms of pandemic and other issues. But more normal markets are now here, and we're going to get volatility. And I would say it's because the potential of a 20%+ gain isn't there this year. More likely 8% earnings growth, maybe 1% in dividends. So you're looking at a 9% year. Along the way, lots of volatility. And you've got, you know, that print, that 7% inflation print. You know, that nobody thinks that's sustainable, but it's still scary to see it. So that's going to put a bit of a spook on equities, too, particularly tech. And you're seeing that manifest itself in these flattish to down NASDAQ days. But the inherent growth in those companies is still there. Nothing's really changed. And so I think it'll sort itself out. But I'm looking for muted returns with a lot more increase in the VIX. And so we should get used to this. And we're in a year where there's a midterm, so we're gonna have lots of politics. I love all the hearings to bash tech, and we're back doing that again. And that's gonna give you some volatility in the names. Nothing ever happens. It's just good sound bites for the politicians, but it still gives you volatility. So what I say, get over it and still allocate to equities, because there's really nothing else to do if you wanna beat inflation. 7%—that's
you know,
a lot.
You know, it's kind of the frame of mind that Professor Siegel was in earlier this week when he spoke with us. When I said, you know, so you're calling for all these rate hikes? Does that mean you're selling everything? And he's like, no, there is no alternative. He said, Tina, right? There is no alternative to stocks. You don't want to own bonds, Kevin. When I look at the specific moves you're making, I can't help but think you can't be too concerned with the environment here. You bought Procter & Gamble. You bought more J&J. You bought Home Depot. You bought Boeing. You bought Schlumberger. Now, I will note, you know, these are obviously more cyclical value-ish type plays rather than going headlong into some technology names. But this suggests that you're taking advantage of what has been a rotation out of technology and into other areas of the market that still look attractive.
I still own tech. I mean, it's just that I'm not adding to it right now. I'm being very constructive to my old good friend, cash flow. I love cash flow in times of volatility. And everything I bought there, you just listed off, Scott, these are cash flow honey bunnies. Fantastic balance sheets, really good places to hide in the weeds. With 7% inflation, let's call that ticker 5.5% to 7% inflation. That means your cash is being taxed at 5 to 7% this year if you do nothing with it. So where do you go? You go with the cash flow. And those are the names I'm listing. Safety, safety. Because fixed income is not an alternative. Siegel's right. You don't want to put money there. You're going to get killed. And I think this is going to be the hallmark of this year. Putting the majority of your holdings into good, strong balance sheets. And another theme we'll talk about is Europe. I'm really licking my chops at some of the names over there.
You know, you're not the only one. I mean, Bank of America, we like to look at their flow show note to find out where some larger institutional and retail flows are going into the market. They've seen the largest inflow to Europe stocks since June of 2021, a couple billion dollars. Largest inflow to emerging markets since March of 21, almost $7 billion. I mean, it just gives you an idea where people are sensing that there could be more value rather than in the United States. Shan, I also wonder, and look, we've had the benefit of speaking with some smart strategists and investors, not only on this program this week, but on the network at large, and I've listened to a lot of what people have to say. Listen to what Brian Belsky told us of BMO, who says, I get all this volatility. There is an adjustment period that needs to take place when you have interest rates going up and you have a change in Fed policy, but he's sticking with 5,300 on the S&P this year. He's still looking for a decent year. We can react to him on the other side. Let's take a listen.
Markets can, will, and should go up when interest rates go up. Interest rates go up because the economy is improving. Stocks lead earnings, which lead the economy. That's exactly what's going on with respect to the traditional formula, Scott. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be bumpy. As the market transitions to more of an earnings slash fundamentally driven market, history shows that returns are much more volatile. That's why our theme for 2022 is prepare for the second derivative. Second derivative in terms of price performance, earnings growth, valuation spikes, and yes, inflation. So we still think that 5,300 is very doable.
So, Shan, look, multiples need to adjust to some degree in certain areas of the market, and in large part, they already have. And maybe they need to go down further in some areas of technology that just got way overextended. The point's been made many times, and I think it's been a good one. But what do you make of Belsky? Is the market overdoing it on this fear of rising rates? I mean, the 10-year's at 174 today. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what somebody else said about the Fed after you answer this question.
The reset that's anticipated, it's the uncertainty of how much and how fast. And, you know, whether, you know, we talk about contrarian views or what is consensus. Consensus is somewhere around 3 rate hikes this year, right? And so maybe it could be 4. I would argue that whether it's 3 or 4, that really doesn't matter. But is there then, you know, 3 or 4 subsequent rate hikes just after? Or does the Fed remain patient and watch this transmit through the economy? I would agree with Belsky. I think that if we look at the second half of the year, we're nowhere near 7% on the CPI in the second half of the year. In my view, we are absolutely going to see the Fed hold and see those rates, that those rate hikes transmit through the economy before they get even more aggressive. And I think we're also going to see some pressure on the dollar, which, again, to B of A's flow show, you're going to continue to see money move outside of the United States into assets that are not U.S. large cap stocks. So this choppy, volatile period, which I was anticipating, as many of us were, is likely to extend for the next several months. But the accelerating economic growth that we're experiencing and the fact that we are actually going to get pretty good earnings growth this year, albeit not at the same pace as last year, is going to lead stocks higher. I think what you need to do is try to make sure that you're thinking about your time horizon. Over the next several months, if you're looking for these high valuation tech stocks to deliver a significant upside from these values that they've fallen to, you're probably looking in the wrong place. And I would caution that some of these stocks may take several years to get back to the values where you think they're worth holding in your portfolio. But there's a lot of opportunity here. And I think what we need to understand is that the second half of the year is going to represent something different. And you need to be prepared to perhaps hold some of your names during this volatility to position for that period.
So I'm looking at a stock, VMW, okay? It's VMware, and it's basically right now back to where it was in April of a year ago. But yet you bought it. It's a new buy for you. I'm curious as to why you decided to buy that one.
So if we look at some things that have been pressured, Scott, you think about the cloud, and this is just this ethereal, you know, word for a whole bunch of things that have been pressured, names like Adobe, Salesforce. VMware is actually a hybrid platform that is looking to move to a SaaS model. And so if you think about what we, to Kevin made a great point, cash flow, this company is looking to create a model whereby they have more recurring cash flow. And if we look at something that we're looking at over the course of the next couple of years is this hybrid approach is going to continue. Not everything is going up into the cloud. And so a mix of both hybrid computing options as well as some of this cloud-based infrastructure that we like, we think is the best way to take advantage of the higher IT spend that we're anticipating coming forward, continuing through the next 3 or 4 years.